This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
I feel like I've done this before. Yeah, welcome to my intimate gathering of complete strangers with low standards, evidently. Now, and I'm not breaking any news here, but some golfers are just boring. It's true, and I won't name any names, but my two guests tonight are just on the opposite end of that spectrum. With names like Boo and Zinger, yeah, you get the feeling that some colourful conversation is about to ensue. And knowing these two like I do, I was just hoping I could keep up. Zinger, Boo, thanks for joining me here at the Armature Works in Tampa, Florida. You two will forever be connected through golf because of the 2008 Ryder Cup. Boo, your play was fantastic, and Paul, your strategery.
Strategery.
Was, I said, quoting my favorite president. You know, you got praise for that. When Zinger came to you into the team room with the strategy he wanted to employ that week, do you remember your initial reaction to it?
I didn't understand it. I mean, I do that because
they put us in common pods. Sense?
They put us in these pods, man. I'm thinking pods. I was like, which I didn't understand exactly, and until they got to breaking it down and trying to show us what they were wanting to do, and I understood now because they were kind of, putting the guys that are kind of like redneck kind of guys, but I don't know how Jim Furyk got thrown in this one. But he was in there, and it worked out. I mean, you'd have to ask Mr. Paul a little more about, what was going on, but in my theory, I was just happy to be there.
Well, 2-0-1 is a pretty impressive record for a rookie in the Ryder Cup. Did you expect to play well that week, or did you have an idea of...
Going into there, I was playing well. I felt real confident in what we're doing. We worked real hard. At the time, I was working with Mike Taylor out of Sea Island, Georgia. We had things rocking and rolling pretty good. And plus, being out there on that stage, with no expectations and knowing that you're playing for your country, all you got to do is just go out there and tee it up and just hit the shot what you practice.
That Ryder Cup was unbelievable. I mean, the whole pod system thing came from a Navy SEALs concept of team building, putting a group of 12 into small groups of four based on Myers-Briggs green light, red light scenarios. We didn't want any red lights together. We wanted green lights. Furyk turned out to be a little caution with you guys, but we messaged him into a green light. And then I communicated with the players according to personality types and all that. I redefined the role of the assistant captains. Had one assistant with each pod. And they were very beneficial. They're not allowed to talk to the players during the matches. I had not really seen the players play that much that week. And I hadn't seen Boo. And he comes walking up to that tee, sixth match out on Sunday. And I went down there and shook his hand. I said, "How you feeling, Boo Daddy?" I'll never forget it. And he looked up at me and said, "I'm a little nervous, Mr. Zinger." And I said, "Well, you should be, man." I said, "But look around." I said, "These are your people here. Go show off for your people." So he tees up, and I walked around over that way. I didn't know what he was about to do. But I did notice when he stood over it, he had a smile on his face. And all I was thinking, because I hadn't seen Boo really hit all week, because I let my assistants do it. They reported back to me. I can remember thinking, "Well, man, I didn't know Boo smiled before he hit." Little did I know, he was going to Happy Gilmore off that tee box there. But he decided he was going to do it only if he striped it. Is that what you told me?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he shot 29 on the front.
That's the best. I mean, like I said, that's the best I ever played the game of golf. Was that whole week, them three days that I got to tee it up.
Was that the crowning achievement of your career?
Yes, sir. By far. I'd love to play in the President's Cup because I got to play in the World Cup with one of my, high school roommates, Heath Slocum. That was an honor. If I could play the President's Cup, I would have. I'd probably already be at home right now, sitting on a horse or riding a tractor, doing something, fishing, doing something else.
Zinger, what was better, winning as a player or winning as a captain?
I think the captaincy was by far the biggest achievement. When you are asked to lead 12 men and represent the United States of America against...
Plus, we ain't won in
that's right.
Years.
We'd lost four of the previous five.
Yeah.
And we were heavy underdog going in there. Faldo had a great team coming in. But I really like the way these guys... gelled. The four-man group thing was very, very good. Europe has it naturally. The Irishmen play together, the Swedes play together.
Yeah, that's right.
The Spaniards play together, the Englishmen.
Yeah.
And we contrived that, really. And it just worked out, and it was a real privilege. And definitely nothing comes close. PGA was great.
Yeah.
But I get more mileage out of that Ryder Cup than anything.
Yeah. it's a great venue, Valhalla.
That's
and
right.
Spectators in Kentucky are out of their minds.
Oh, yes.
They're just amazing. I remember walking along, it had rained, and it was a big fat guy up the slope on the inside the ropes with a beer, and he shouts, "Ferdy!" I got on his feet, went out from underneath him, and he slid all the way down the bank like that there, and I had to step over him. I stepped over him like that, and he didn't spill a drop.
That's so
yeah.
great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you get asked to tell a story all the time, Boo, but you've got to regale us with the orangutan.
It happened a lot. It happened when we was in freshman year of high school. Had a little county fair there in Milton, and we was out there, got out of school, and we went out there to check it out, and there's a sandbar down at the end of where I reckon the circus part of it is. You just drive right past it, and it goes down to a sandbar. We was all, that's where we camp out, party at when we was kids and fish. And we were just sitting around, and about this time, this guy pulls up in this flatbed truck and unloads this cage and then hollers at something. And all of a sudden, this orangutan comes out, and he walks around the side there. And next thing you know, he starts hollering 5 for $50. He had to sign a little waiver and put headgear on, put gloves on, and that orangutan is in the corner over there. And you got like a little lip that you got to step over to get in, and I kind of got in there. And I'm telling you, but like it wasn't maybe 20 feet. Well, probably about 30 feet from where my truck was parked to where the cage was. And of course, you got all your buddies sitting there hollering, hooping at you like, "Kick his ass, sea bass, kick his ass." You know, I was in there shuffling around like Muhammad Ali. And back then, I was fit. You know, now I'm more of a Humpty Dumpty, but. Back then, it was fun, and then I went in there and went to swing and hit him, and next thing I know, I woke up in the back of my truck. And I sat up, and they kind of poured, like, what left of a beer on me, and I kind of sat up, and I was bleeding out of my nose, and I kind of looked around, like, how did I get here? And they was like, "Man, you got knocked out." And I was like, "Well, what hand did he hit me with?" They said, "You never seen it? You could hear the wind off of it when it hit you." But, I mean, it just, because the only thing I could think of as many fights I've been in is because of the headgear.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah. And you can't see, because his hand's down there on the ground. I mean, he just comes up, you know, it's just.
Yeah, I think they're 8 times stronger than us, something like that.
And their arms are about 8 times longer too.
Yeah. As well.
He got me pretty good.
He told that story at our Ryder Cup, and I swear it really set the tone, you know, for our Ryder Cup in 2008, where it just got everybody relaxed, and we were just all on the same page.
Well, one of the things about a Ryder Cup is, I mean, you don't want to do anything stupid.
Right.
And if you get told a story like that, anything you do...
You're good then.
It's not stupid. Yeah. You've got two of the best nicknames out there. How long ago did they first start calling you Zinger?
I was Zip all through high school.
Zip?
Zip, I don't know why. My best friend's dad called me Zero, because Zip and Zero were the same, and that's just how you're treated when you're in high school. But Zinger just was a natural. I don't know. It's pretty easy.
And how about Boo?
Boo come from the cartoon Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When they'd come in from work, they'd always say that to him when I was real little, and I'd just go to giggling, and it just kind of stuck. And then at the same time, it's kind of hard to play baseball with the name of Thomas. You know, it's just, you know, who are you, Thomas? How you play soccer, Thomas? I mean, it just never really stuck. And then so he just started calling me Boo, and then Boo stayed.
You know, that tour can get you some quick nicknames. You remember when Mike Hulbert putted with one hand that week
yes.
in Canada? And the next week, they started calling him Stone Crab. One claw missing. You can get a nickname on that PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah. Coming up as youths, you know, you both had non-conventional ways to the PGA Tour. Boo, you went to the Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College and did, you know, turf science for a year. And then you came home and cleaned ammonia tanks?
Yes, sir.
What does cleaning an ammonia tank entail?
You just get lowered down into the tank. After they suck all the ammonia out, they fill it back up with water, and then they just lower you down in like a little rubber raft, and you got like a aluminum shotgun, and they put all this pressure going through it, and you just like a high, like just like if you're doing a car wash, but you're doing it inside about a 1 million-gallon tank.
How much was that an hour?
$6.25. I think it was $6.25 an hour is what I was making.
How do you go from cleaning ammonia tanks to playing the mini tours to getting on tour?
Actually, how it happened was Heath Slocum, you know, plays that on tour. We graduated high school together. His daddy started a mini tour. Is it Developmental Players Tour is what it was called.
Yeah.
And they happened to be playing a tournament there in Moores, Milton, Florida there. And he asked me to come play. And I was like, man, I'm just a weekend warrior. I've been working out at the plant for 3 years. And I went out and played in it and had to ask my foreman. if I could take off for 3 days to go play in this 3-day tournament. And so I was like, all right. So we went out and I played good the first day, played good the second day. And they said, I know I won it. Well, it was the biggest check. I mean, it was like $2,800, $3,000, something like that. I wasn't, ain't 100% on it. And I called my mom up from the landline there at the golf course and said, Mom, I think I found my calling. And she said, what's that? I said, she said, you calling me from the Morris golf course? Because it was at my daddy's drugstore. He's a pharmacist. And I was like, yes, ma'am. She said, why ain't you at work? I said, Mom, I'm telling you, I think I can play golf for a living. She's like, no the hell you can't. Get your ass up and go back to work at the plant. And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she was all mad. She told me I need to get back out there to the plant and go back to work. And I decided to pursue golf. Saved up enough money to kind of come back out, and that's $5,000 what I started with. And then, after that first little bit of playing in, I got sponsors to help me out.
Singer, what's the worst job you ever had?
My dad used to own a marina on City Island in Sarasota. After school, I would scrape boat bottoms, barnacles, and then I would pump gas on the weekends when I was a kid. But we had the best of both worlds when I grew up in Sarasota. It was way before I-75 was built, and I lived way out east with all the country folk kind of boo. And then on the weekends, I worked at the boat dock with all the rich guys in their boats. So I had the best of both worlds. I saw two different worlds growing up. It was kind of nice. Golf didn't pique my interest until about my second or third year of high school.
Well, you went to Brevard Community College, for a few years, and then Florida State.
Yep.
And but it took you a while to break 80, didn't it?
My first year in junior college, I could not break 80 2 days in a row. My second year at junior college, I broke 70 for the first time in my life. And then 5 years later, in 1987 or so, I was player of the year. It just happened so fast.
What was the difference between not being able to break 80 and then breaking 70 within a year?
I didn't know anything. I remember Coach Suddy, Jim Suddy, Doc Suddy was my coach. And I remember the first time I saw my swing on film, I thought it looked okay. And I said, looks pretty good, huh, Coach? And he's like, well, you're across the line, you're past parallel, you're on your left side at the top, you got no leg action, and your club face is dead shut. I was like, well, where do we start, Coach? And that's how it started. And I, when I went to school at Brevard, I stayed at Brevard. I didn't come home on the weekends very often, and I really practiced a lot, the big range baskets. I mean, I did put in the effort. And, there's no shortcut to getting good at this game. You can't hope for it or wish for it, can
you?
You have to practice and prepare, but you also have to get good information. I think instruction's full of a lot of opinion.
Yeah.
There's only a few fundamentals that I believe, three fundamentals I believe, that right back pocket turns this way, that left back pocket turns that way, and it happens in a sequence, and that sequence is two turns and a swish. It's not turn, swish, turn. It's turn, turn, swish. The rest of it's pretty much opinion because that Hall of Fame's full of swings that don't look alike.
Yeah, however, they're starting to look alike. And I was wondering, have we seen the last of guys like you that did have these unconventional backgrounds before getting on the PGA Tour, the assistant pros and the, they're straight out of college and on a tour these days. There doesn't seem to be any difference.
I don't think there's any way you can make it back out there no more unless you go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the, I reckon to be your clubhouse rat, he ain't gonna make it out there without having to go to college because they ain't got no Q school like they did when I made it through my first year in 2002. And it's so much tougher now.
And unless they're fuzzy foreigners.
And there's so much information. The competition's right. Strong, but the information that you get in college is, with the
so
TrackMan devices and all that, it's information that if you don't have it and someone else does, they're probably gonna be better than you in the end.
More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor. Why is Farmers supporting my show? Well, I've interviewed over 100 guests, ranging from legendary golfers to presidents to celebrities. And just like Farmers is smarter from their unbelievable but true experiences, from each of my interviews I've gained great knowledge that I can carry forward. Well, from most of them. Anyway, thank you, Farmers, for supporting my show.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right then, now back to the show. Azinger and Boo each have a victory that stands out among the rest. Singer, you worked at Bay Hill and then went back and won the tournament. And Boo, you kind of idolized Ben Hogan and then won a Colonial. Some wins mean more than others. What do those wins mean to you?
Winning at Arnold's Place was huge. I had probably 40 or 50 tickets that Bay Hill tournament gave us that week for friends that came over. So all my friends were there in 1988, and that made it really, really special. And then to win at Arnold's place, I've known Arnold since I was 19 years old. Winning at Jack's place was special too, the way mm-hmm. that whole thing happened. Winning at Bay Hill, though, was a dream come true. I thought I'd do better at Bay Hill than I did, just the one win there. But when they changed that golf course, they made it too hard for me.
They have made it hard, ain't no doubt about it.
You know, Kite and I talked about Bay Hill and how much different the greens were, and Kite couldn't putt those greens after the fact either once they redid them. And I had a hard time on those greens after they redid them at Bay Hill. And then in 97 or whenever Tiger showed up, it was it's a one-man show at Bay Hill.
I don't know how he can hit it high enough, I reckon, to get him to stop on that green, because I couldn't stop him on the greens. It's a tough golf course.
What about Colonial for you?
It was just to be able to walk up there and see, you know, all the names on the walls, pretty awesome. And then turn around and winning it the way I won it, and being hurt the year before and coming back and, you know, winning it. And every year I get to walk up there and I get to see my name there, and, you know, and it's right there with a bunch of legends and a bunch of the greatest golfers that ever played a game.
Well, your other wins came at Harbortown. It was one of my favorite golf courses, but it's only, you know, 7,000 yards. So why do you think the guys keep going back to Harbortown?
Because I think it's probably the purest golf course that we play. For the way I grew up playing, I grew up, you know, everything was tree-lined and small greens, and you had to hit it a certain distance. You had to keep it, you know, under the wind.
You have to hit the right side of the fairway, the fairway.
Yeah, you ain't got to just hit it in the fairway. You got to keep it on the right side of the fairway. And same thing around the greens. You know, you don't want to miss it left, even though it looks like you got plenty of grass over there, but you just don't know how that green is going to sit and the way the wind's blowing there. And it's just a great golf course.
Do we need to keep playing golf courses like Hilton Head?
I think so, yes, sir. I think if we could, you know, I mean, they're making it longer and, you know, making these golf courses longer and harder. And I think the reason why is because the technology's outran the golf courses to me. But if they would go out to most of the golf courses and say, all right, look, we're just going to bring the fairways in, we're going to grow the rough up, and let's go from there. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. They seem to, you know, think longer is better. It doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. You know, these guys
Go back to Tiger again. If you want to Tiger-proof a golf course, just go take him to Hilton Head. Or Tiger-proof a golf tournament, take him to Hilton Head, because it neutralized all Tiger's power if he ever played there. But when you lengthen a golf course like that, it loses its charm. And I feel like that Hilton Head's still the most charming place on the PGA Tour. Augusta kind of lost its charm a little bit when it stretched out, but it had to happen. And they still shoot low at Augusta National.
But the shorter Augusta plays, the harder it is.
Yes.
When it's hard and fast, that's when you see, you know, big scores.
I just don't hear the roars out like you used to at Augusta. Like, I watch it on, that's about the only golf I'll watch.
Yeah.
Is when Augusta plays. And you just don't, I remember back, you know, even as a kid, you know, watching golf. But a little bit I did watch, but you don't hear it, the roar, especially on the backside. Like, you could hear somebody on, like, Amen Corner, but at the same time, you can hear some roars up on number one.
Hey, guys, you know, are doing spectacular things. It's harder to create spectacular things when
with
it's
the ball
stretched
and equipment
out.
And it's all stretched out now.
People ask me to compare generations periodically, and you know, I just think that our generations are different. I was taught to play golf close to the ground. The same thing. And now it's a generation that hits it up in the air, and they maybe get 8 or 9 seconds of hang time. And, you know, quite frankly, I marvel at their ability to play the game that way.
Yeah.
They can make a mockery of a hole by taking a chance, but they can also make double bogey by taking a chance. And so I think golf's every bit as exciting as it was back then. The courses have had to have been lengthened for a handful of players probably. Yeah. But all in all, I think the game's in a good spot. But, you know, lengthening those courses, that's the only best way I can say it. It just causes them to lose a little charm.
Truly pointless part of the show, rapid fire. Somebody start a clock. Iced tea, sweet or unsweetened?
Sweet.
Sweet.
Last thing you paid for in cash?
Muffin.
A muffin.
Just
downstairs?
Did.
Yeah.
Told to go over the bridge.
Phil Collins or Billy Joel?
Phil Collins.
Same.
Favorite fast food chain?
Burger King.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah. Good day hunting or a good day fishing?
Hunting.
I'd rather fish.
Twitter or Instagram?
Instagram.
By far, Instagram.
Really?
Twitter's a sewer.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Football, college or pro?
College.
College.
Yeah, me too. Favorite smell?
Venison cooking.
Venison?
Deer meat, baby.
I like that smell of fried fish in that kitchen.
Napalm in the morning. If you weren't a golfer, you'd be?
A dancer.
A dancer? Yeah, baby.
Now that's good.
Yeah, that's what I like.
I'd have sold something.
What'd you sell it?
I'd have been selling something.
That's something, huh? You'd back in the day with long hair, selling something. Okay.
I'd have been selling boats, probably.
We'd both be penniless.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah. If you've got a Ryder Cup match to win and you can pick anyone alive or dead to play with, who have you got?
Play with or against?
To play with.
Benno.
I'd probably like to play with Jack or Weisskopf or somebody from that generation.
Weisskopf?
I would love to play with Weisskopf.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Love that man.
Well, stop the clock. Well done, man. As always, you did nothing. What about the weification of golf? A lot of these younger players now, they've got a team behind them of sports psychologists, and there's a caddy and a nutritionist and a trainer. Wow. What kind of a trainer do you use?
I had a trainer year before last, but...
Really?
Yeah, we ended up just becoming good drinking buddies.
Well, did you eat him?
No, I didn't eat him, but we tried it out, and he's over there eating a salad, and I'm eating a T-bone steak and having about four or five beers, and he's drinking some kind of yogurt drink or something.
Yeah.
That ain't my cup of tea.
Yeah, life's not worth living if you don't live it.
Uh-uh.
You know, I remember Rodney. You remember Rodney, my caddy?
I do.
Yeah. Well, Rodney, when he was asked how I played, would say, you know, we shot 68, or he shot 76.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the whole we thing, you know, you hear them all doing it now, or a few guys are saying it. Now, all I can think is, you know, we didn't double bogey that hole. You did. We didn't win that championship, you did. And you can say we all you want, but these guys with the entourage, I feel, have an advantage because, for one, they think they have the advantage. It's like working out. If you think working out makes you a better player, then it probably does.
It does.
Push comes to shove. You know, it's like, does the player make the teacher or does the teacher make the player? It's a mutual relationship, but the player makes the teacher.
Yeah.
It's up to the player, and it's always going to be up to the player.
Well, if you could... you know, have one mulligan in life that might sort of unbrick your heart, what would it be, on or off the course?
Mine would have to be, if I had a mulligan, I'd like to retry that.
The orangutan?
No, I don't. That's just life lesson there. That's a life lesson learned. But I'd have to say maybe that three-putt I had down there at the Honda, just because it would have been the first win I ever had with my child, with my oldest boy
right,
there with me.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, he still thought I won, and then I told him, no, son, your daddy choked, and this is what happened, and, you know, and trying to tell him what happened,
yeah,
it's still kind of hard. No, daddy, you won. Like, no. Nah. But I'd love to take that one back and maybe have that putt again.
Mulligans in Life are presented by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Let's move on to true or false. See how well you know each other. I'm going to ask each of you true or false questions about each other, and we'll see if you can get them right. Okay. You're both authors, all three of us. Or, matter of fact, Zinger, true or false, Boo's book is called True Boo, Gator Catching, Orangutan Boxing, and My Wild Ride to the PGA Tour.
I'm going to go false.
It's true.
That's the name of your book?
Yeah,
it's true the name,
book.
And it's the
That's
first
a
chapter.
Great title. Yeah. You got to get me a copy of that.
It didn't sell many.
Zinger once beat me in a playoff to win a European Tour event.
I say that's true.
Yeah, it is true. Bastard. Yeah. He beat me to win the BMW International in Munich. And I had led the tournament for 143 holes because I'd won it the year before and I was leading it wire to wire.
You know,
and he hooked his second shot and it hit a German person on the head and came back into bounds. And he made four on the last hole. Then he made three the first hole of the playoff, birdie to beat me. But
really?
I'm not bitter. Yeah. Zinger, Boo and Andrew Beef Johnson were both born on July the 23rd.
That's got to be true.
No, it's false.
Darn it, how did you come up with beef and...
Yeah, I know.
Because of Harvey's.
Zinger, Boo once wrote down the wrong hole score for Sergio at the PGA, and he signed for it and was disqualified.
That's not true.
It is true.
Good Lord, what the heck? Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah. He didn't do it on purpose.
No.
Zinger didn't break 40 on a side until he was a senior in high school.
He didn't break sword? No, that's true.
It's true, yes.
Crushing me. Crushing me.
Zinger, Boo went to the same high school as Bubba Watson, Heath Slocum, and Emmett Smith.
Well, I don't know about Emmett Smith, but I'll say true.
Your instincts were right. Emmett went to the school down the street in Pensacola. So,
you're wrong.
Bubba, Heath, and...
I've gotten them all wrong. Yeah. I missed every one.
You are the most consistent we've ever had. Things pop up on the internet every now and then. One of the recent topics is perhaps they should cap the number of courses on the U.S. Open roster like they do in the Open Championship. Do you think that would work?
I mean, how many do they have?
You know, I think we should limit the rota of... No, they go to new courses. They just went to Erin Hills. I think that's what people are complaining about. You know, Chambers Bay, the unknown of Chambers Bay.
Yikes.
Nobody knew what Erin Hills was going to play like in 16 under one. And the argument maybe is that they didn't know how that course played in a championship, and why would they go there? But I feel the USGA has a responsibility to the entire game of golf, and to be able to pick courses, new and old, is their privilege to host their championship. And there, it is no less a win hoisting that trophy at Erin Hills than it would be at Pebble Beach, in my opinion.
Yep.
The burden of trying to execute and pull that off is the same burden.
Right,
yeah.
And if the USGA wants to grow the game and help continue to grow the game, like the Tour and the RNA and everybody else, then I think every once in a while they got to pick another site. The next 10 sites are going to be spectacular and traditional, though. I think the USGA's got a pretty nice arsenal set up.
What's the best U.S. Open course you ever played?
I always like Pebble Beach, I feel. It just seems to sit there waiting on you in June.
Yeah.
The weather can be anything. The greens are hard as a rock. You know, we play there in February. You see every footprint.
Yes.
But I like Pebble Beach, I think, best of all. And I like Shinnecock, where they're playing this year as well. I think Shinnecock's a masterpiece.
It's a hard golf course.
It's so difficult, David. And I do prefer that they go to the masterpieces.
Yeah.
But to try to push the USGA into a corner and say, get a rota of six or seven courses, I don't think it's necessary.
The playoff was switched from 18 holes to a two-hole aggregate. What are you feeling about that?
I love it. I just love it. I mean, sudden death would have been fine with me. Three holes or four holes would have been fine. But I think 18 holes is too big a burden on the volunteers. It's too big a burden on TV, honestly. You're going to lose a lot of money that day. It's the right thing to do. Let's have a conclusion. We build it up at the start of Sunday morning. We build up to have this great conclusion to this event, and there's all the drama's lost when you have to go to a Monday. However, we would have missed the Tiger-Rocco Monday playoff, which was one of the great things golf's ever seen, I feel. But I love that they've done this. They asked the players what they felt. They asked us what we felt. I'm happy they did that.
Well, do you think they should standardize it, you know, the four majors? Because the Masters is sudden death. The U.S. Open is two-hole aggregate. The PGA Championship is three-hole, and the Open is four.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but, you know, it's all unique unto them, and let them do it the way they want.
Despite the struggles, both of you kept coming back. What was it that kept you coming back?
Coming back to golf?
Yeah.
Or just coming back?
You just...
I love golf. I mean, I love the actual competition of it. That's what I like. I like the... You know, stand up there and, you know, when you shake everybody's hand, like when we get ready to tee off and you shake everybody's hand, and the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, I'm fitting to kick your butt all over this golf course. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
But I don't say it, but I mean, that's what I think, you know.
No, but I always wondered about the guys, you know, shake your hand on the first tee and say, good luck.
No, you don't mean that.
I don't mean that. I don't want you to have good luck.
That's why I say play well.
Yeah, played slightly worse than me. Yeah.
It's some deep-seated passion, you know. Golf will get you. That golf bug will get you.
It's a hook.
That last tee shot on 18 will bring you back after you're playing a miserable round of golf if you hit it right.
Fans see, you know, golfers out on the golf course and on television. Do you think they understand enough about what goes into being a tour pro?
It's a traveling circus.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to deal with the different textures of grass and types of grass and thickness of blade and different sand and the whole nine yards. You got to read the greens, elevation changes. I grew up in Florida. Hilly courses were tough on me. You know, the packing and unpacking, living out of the suitcase. Then you bring your children out, homeschool your children. My wife homeschooled. And I look back at it now, David, I've been removed from competitive golf for about 6 or 8 years, and I wonder how I did it, honestly. You know, my son-in-law is trying to play for a living. I just hope they all realize how tough it is and what a privilege it is if you ever do get out there. But when I talk to my son-in-law about it, it's not, I don't try to tell him or teach him what to think. That comes from the player.
Yeah.
But you got to know how to think to play that tour. And on a lot of different levels, you got to know how to think, strategy-wise, how to travel, the whole nine yards.
Boo, you've been quoted over the years as saying that once you've got enough to last you the rest of your life, you'll hang it up.
Yeah, and I'm about there.
Yeah?
I'm about
really?
There. Oh, yes, sir.
So we won't see Boo Weekly on tour for much longer?
Probably not. Maybe I might come out, maybe play a few times on the senior tour.
Yeah.
If I can just come back out right now, like I said, I'd like to play for about another year. And then if I can play for about another year, year and a half, and about that should do me in.
That's tragic.
It is tragic, but I get it.
Such a young man. Oh, yeah, I get it, too.
I totally get it. I never got to that point where I thought I'm going to hang it up until I hung it up.
Yeah.
An injury or two here or there. But, you know, Vijay always gives me grief for not playing that senior tour.
Zingy, why aren't you out there playing the senior tour?
Well, I look at Vijay and I'm thinking, I can't beat you and you're not winning every week, so why should I go out there?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking
at
it.
That's how I look at it.
That's a good point.
There must be something in the game that makes you want to walk away from it.
It's the time away from the family. I haven't really got to see my kids grow up and just being able to spend time with my daddy, my grandparents, the family that's brought so much to me and have always been there for me when I was down and out, and I just want to be with my family and show my kids a little bit about, you know, what there's more to life than what I do. Teach them how to, you know, farm a little bit, grow a garden. You know, we got fish, we got hunting. Where I live at, they need to learn, because if they don't make it like I did, they're going to have to do this. You know, it ain't always easy.
Singer, the PGA Tour Champions wasn't for you.
Well, I realized when I got out there, I didn't like that many of them. Number one. And
sums it up.
I also thought we were going to be drinking red wine and smoking cigars, but I found out that wasn't the case either. Those fellas work at it, and they still can play. I mean, if you're shooting 18, 19 under in a three-day event,
you're getting it.
I don't want any part of that. And I began to realize pretty quickly my game wasn't for public consumption. Started looking bad. And they worked hard out there, and I kid about not liking them, but the truth be told, you never hang out with other players out there. There might be a couple guys you hang out with.
That's right.
It's not this camaraderie fest like you think. It's a competitive fest, and they're still very good at what they do.
Guys, thanks for joining me in Tampa. It was wonderful. Learned a little more about you
and
a little about golf.
I always love hanging with you, David.
Yes,
thanks, Paul. Too,
baby. Yes, good to see you, brother.
Aside from their golf careers, one thing Paul Azinger and Boo Weekly have in common is pure honesty. Paul's not afraid to tell it like it is, and Boo wouldn't live his life any other way. Thanks, boys, for a straight shooting time on the sofa. Well, gracias, everyone, for sticking around. I've no idea why you would, but since you're in a forgiving mood, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for lots more of me. Thanks for joining me, Fegherty fans. You can find more of the Fegherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Fegherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Fegherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.